Good to see you in the Lord's house tonight. I'd like to ask one request tonight. If there's anybody here tonight that has not yet volunteered to make a gallon of ice cream, you'd love to do that. You'll do it for Sunday night. Would you raise your hand? Anybody anywhere? Most of you already have, I know, but anybody that hasn't? Okay, that's fine then. All right. Again, it's good to be here, and thank you for being here tonight. And do pray for our pastor, Miss Ennis. They're taking a little vacation. They're traveling and hopefully relaxing and enjoying themselves. They need it. And we need to pray for them as they do that. Okay, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the third gospel. That is Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 tonight. We're reading a very familiar text tonight. Trust the Lord's blessing upon it. Trust it'll be what we need tonight as individuals and as a church as we look at this account in the Word of God tonight. Before we begin, let's have prayer. Father, we're grateful now for this time that we have to be in your house. Dear God, we thank you for each one that's assembled here. We pray, Lord, for those that are not here tonight for various reasons they have. I pray, Lord, you protect them, give them health, give them strength, that they may be able to be back in the Lord's house on Sunday. Lord, do be with those, again, that's already been mentioned, that's sick. Lord, we have a lot of people that are sick today. God, we ask you, Lord, to bless them and supply their needs. Lord, we pray now, Lord, as we come together, as we open your word tonight, Lord, we need your help. God, we need your guidance, Lord, as we open the Word of God and read it together. I pray the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would do and speak through us tonight, Lord, what needs to be done in each of our lives to encourage us and to help us in our walk as we journey here. So, Father, we commit now this time to you as we read your Word together. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that everything that's said, everything that's done tonight will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, in Luke chapter 15, we know that the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given for our good. All Scripture is given that we may grow thereby. All Scripture is given for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, that we as children of God may be able to teach and to preach the Word of God and know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And all the Scripture that we find in God's Word, we know is inspired of God. It may not seem like it's doing a whole lot to me, but if we read it and read it and read it, God is going to take the Scriptures and He's going to do something for us if we will apply ourselves to it, no matter where it is. Now, we know that Jesus Himself, when He was here on the earth, He spoke many times in parables. Now, a parable can be defined many ways. But tonight, I think in the setting that we're in, we're going to say that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As Jesus taught through parables, He taught His disciples, He taught people around Him so they could understand what He was saying. He was a very simple teacher as far as His teaching was concerned. And we find here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus again is speaking here in a parable. And we find as He brings this to our attention, most of us have heard this story many times, we've been through it many times. Of course, it's the parable of the prodigal son. And we see here as Jesus is writing here and He's telling us and encouraging us along the way. I want us to take a little journey tonight, if you will, please. First of all, we're going to start out in the Father's house, okay? The Father's house. We're going to go from there. We're going to take a trip to the far country. And the Lord willing, we're going to come back to the Father's house. This is where this parable takes us, if we'll look at it. So as we read tonight, I want us to allow the Holy Spirit again to direct us and help us. Now, the purpose of this parable here in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, the purpose of this is to show how pleasing to God conversion of sinners is. In other words, God is pleased. God is happy when people are saved. He's happy. We also see that is to show how ready he is to receive sinners that will repent. Sinners that will repent. I heard a preacher say on the radio this past week, one day this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, that he was in a revival meeting somewhere, I don't know when it was, just recently though. And he said while he was there in that meeting that week, he said 80 people got saved. 80 people got saved. I was astounded by that number, brother. That's something you rarely hear about. But you know what he said? He said, it's amazing though. Of those 80 people got saved, the majority of those people were already church members. Some of them were deacons, and there was a couple of preachers that got saved in that very meeting that he was in. I just couldn't conceive that in my mind. But I'm afraid today, as we have for the last 20 or 30 years, we have made getting saved so simple and so easy that a lot of people have prayed a prayer but never repented and never were saved. The Bible tells us that we have to repent of our sins and trust Christ as our Savior to be saved. Just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, that's a good thing to say, that's a good thing to do. But if you're lost and I'm lost, that won't do it. That won't do it, you know? And, you know, we find that we live in a world today that is looking for something fast, something instant, something easy, you know? And if we're not careful as even soul winners and as Christians today, we will catch ourselves in that same trap, that same error. We're not sure. We're not careful. So we need to be sure. I've said so many times, I'm thankful that you know, the Holy Spirit of God worked in my heart, worked on me for a long time before I ever trusted Christ as my Savior. And it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me that nobody ever took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, because I kept hearing it from the man of God, you know, how to be saved. And I realized by the Spirit of God using the Word of God to convict me in my heart that I was lost and that I needed to be saved. See, until a person knows they're lost, they don't see any need to be saved. There's no need to be saved, you know. And again, just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved sounds good, but I'm afraid sometimes it's not reality in the lives of people. And that's kind of rung my bell this week when I heard that preacher say what he said. You know, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. The people that we talk to, we try to witness to, make sure they know they're lost before you even ask them to pray or pray with them the sinner's prayer, because it's so important. You know, if you ever talk to somebody one time and go through the plan of salvation with them and they don't get saved, chances are you'll never get a chance to talk to them again. They'll be marked off. You know, it'll be the end of it. But we see here that God himself is ready to receive sinners that will repent. Sinners that will repent. Now, let's look at this parable right here. First of all, this parable here represents God as a father. As a father. We also see that it represents the children of men as with different characters. We also see they have a younger son here involved, who is a prodigal son. Now, prodigal simply means wasteful. He's a wasteful son. The prodigal son, he is here representing of a sinner. You and I, every one of us, he represents us in this parable here as a sinner. When a prodigal, he rambles, he parties, he does all kinds of things as a prodigal. The extremes and the miseries he fell into are in this passage of Scripture right here. We also see, not only that, but the foolishness of sinners, and which ruins them, is in this passage also. The foolishness of sinners. brings out how they'll ruin. They'll ruin themselves because of sinners in their life, you see. So we see here the parable. Notice it says in verse number 11, Luke 15:11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. Now, I want us to notice three things to begin with. First of all, we're going to see what this young man's request is to his father. This young man makes a request to his father. Secondly, we're going to see how kind his father was to him. His father was kind back to him. And then we're going to see how he managed himself with the portion when it was in his own hands. How he managed himself when the portion was put into his own hands. Now, let's notice something though, first of all. What his request was to his father. Now look in verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now notice the request here. He said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Notice he asked proudly. He said, give me. He didn't say, may I have. He didn't say, would you consider. It's more of a command than it was a request, really. When he said, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. He was kind of putting his father in a position that he almost had to do it. So we see that it was more than a request. It was more or less, it was a command. He proudly stated to his father, I want my portion of goods, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be. Now, I don't know how old this young guy was, this man was, the younger son. I don't have no idea. He might have been a teenager. He might have been 20, 25 years old. I don't know. But you know, it's strange to me how someone at that age would ask their father for a portion of the inheritance that he's going to get later on in his life. That's kind of strange. That's kind of odd, isn't it? That he would do that even at this time in his life. You know, something was going on, no doubt, in his mind. Something was going on in his life. He was planning something. He was putting something together as a puzzle, so to speak, when he asked his father for the portion of goods that belonged to him. He was planning something. He had to be, you know. And we see, so why did he do it at this time? Why did he do it at this age in his life? Well, speculations go that he might have become weary of the rules and the regulations that he had at home. His father was a good man. His father had discipline in his house. His father kept order in the house, and he might have been getting tired of it. He might have wanted a way out of it, you know, to get away from it, you know. And that's the way a lot of people are sometimes. When they're blessed and don't realize it, because of the discipline and the structure that's in their home, they want to get out of it. And as soon as they get old enough, they do get out of it. And so we see here, that might be a possible reason here. Also, he might have been wanting to get away from his father's sight. In other words, with staying at home, his father knew when he left, his father knew when he come back, okay? Now, if he could get away from home, his father wouldn't know where he was. He wouldn't know when he left. He wouldn't know when he got back. He wouldn't even see him. See, so we find maybe that's the reason why. I don't know why. But there are many reasons we could go into to find out why. Maybe he was just got to the point that he wasn't trusting his father the way the father was managing the farm and all he was living on. I don't know. He wasn't trusting his father. But maybe also he might have was proud of himself. He was proud of himself, and you know, he thought he could make it on his own. He just proud and thought, if I can get that portion of inheritance, I'll get away from this place and I can make it on my own. I know I can do it, you see. So we see here what his request to his father was. He wanted a portion of the goods that falleth to him. And notice how the kind father was to him in the last part of verse number 12. And he divided unto him his living. In other words, the Father gave it to him. He requested it, and the Father gave it to him. Okay? So we see he was willing to please his Son. He was willing to please his Son. We also see that he was willing at times to represent his Son because he knew probably that his Son wasn't going to be there long if he did that. And he would have to pick up the slack, what his Son was doing. So we see this may be good. God is a kind Father to all his children. You know that? This man was kind to his Son. He represents God here. And we find that God is kind and good to us all the time, isn't he? God's been good to me. And I know you can say God's been good to you. Excuse me. God gives us life. He gives us life. He gives us life, putting us in a position to serve him and to glorify him while we're here on this earth. I'm glad that we can recognize that and know that. You know, why are we here on this earth? First of all, God put us here that we might learn about him and know him as our personal Savior. I believe that with all my heart. And once we get saved, he wants us to live for him, to serve him, and to glorify him with the time we have here on this earth. And it's very good that we can do that. So we see the Father was kind to the Son. He fulfilled his request that he wanted a portion of his goods. And he gave it to him. He gave it to him. Now let's notice how the young man managed, if you please, himself with a portion that was placed in his hands. Notice in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now this young man now, he's got his portion of goods, and now he's left home and going to a far country. He's going to a far country. He's headed for danger. And notice what the Bible says. Into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his substance with living it up. He partied. He did everything he could do. No doubt he had a lot of friends because he might have had a lot of money, you know? But he wasted it. He wasted it. In other words, we find here that he could not manage what was given to him. He didn't have the knowledge. He didn't have the ability. He probably didn't have the desire to. You know how it is when somebody gives us something, we spend it faster than we do when we work out something, you know. And that's the way we are. It's our nature, you know. Someone said it's a lot easier to spend somebody else's money than his mind. And, you know, that's our nature. That's the way we are, you see. And so we find out this is what happened to him. Now, this prodigal son, he left home. He went into a far country. And we find as he did this, he represents to the condition into which man has fallen. We all have fallen into this same situation. We left home, we go to a far country. What am I saying here? We all have fallen into a state. That is, number one, all of us have fallen into a sinful state. We all are sinners. We're sinners here on this earth. We're all sinners. Not only we fell into a sinful state, but also a miserable state. A sinful person is a miserable person, folks. He's a miserable person. And no doubt, we find that he was miserable this time. He was in a far country. He was away from home. Oh, yes, he's living it up for a while. But when the money runs out, we know what's happening. When the friends leave, we know what's happening now, you see. But there for a while, he was living it up, and he was having a good time, so to speak. In a sinful state, he had departed and was at a distance from God. Whenever sin is in my life, whenever sin is in your life, we are not close to God. We can't be close to God with sin in our life. Excuse me. And we find this was what happened. He took his journey from his father's house. He left home. Sinners flee from God. Sinners leave God. They depart from God. They have nothing to do with God. And so we see here, this is his situation now. as he's got his portion, he got his request, he found out his father did it for him because he thought his father loved him, and now he's already got that portion, and now he's gone out into a far country. And he's doing everything he can to get rid of it, so to speak. See, he's in a sinful state. A sinful state. Notice the sinful state that he's in. It is the misery of sinners that they are far apart from God. Misery in the lives of sinners apart from God. People in the world today that are lost, they are miserable people. Did you know that? They're miserable people because they're apart from God. They're far away from God. But notice here, what is a sinful state? A sinful state. Look at verse 13. Again, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Notice, first of all, a sinful state is a spending state. A spending state. He wasted his substance, living even among the harlots. We find in verse number 30. He wasted everything he had. He just wasted it. In a little time, he spent all he had. Verse 14, and when he has spent all, in a little time, he spent everything he had. He didn't have nothing left. Nothing left at all. We find one sinner can destroy much good. You know that? One sinner can destroy much good in a person's life. We see the good he destroys, we see, is valuable. The goods that this young man received were valuable goods, but he destroyed them fast. He destroyed them fast. The goods literally were not his own. They were his Lord's goods. And we find they are his Lord's goods, and they must be accounted for. They must be accounted for somehow or somewhere down the line. And they will be. They will be. So we see that this prodigal son is in a sinful state of spending. Spending. He spent all he had. The portion of goods are gone. He has nothing to show for of what he's done. And they're gone. We also see a sinful state is a wanting state. Look in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in what? Want. A sinful state is a wanting, is a wanting state. Wanting. Willful waste brings want. Willful wasting brings want in our lives. We also see that righteous living in time brings men to a morsel of bread. Righteous living in time will bring men to a morsel of bread. Bring it down to nothing. Righteous living with. This represents the misery of sinners. The misery of sinners. This guy is miserable. Now, he's in want. He has nothing. He has no way to get anything. He's miserable as he can be. And we notice here what he's thrown away. Miserable people, people that are sinners, people that are lost, what do they throw away? They throw away the very favor of God in their lives. The favor of God. God looks down upon mankind and he wants to bring favor to every man, every woman, boy, and girl. He does. He wants that favor upon all of us. He does. But when we're in sin, it can't be. He has thrown away also his interest in Christ. Sinners throw away their interest in Christ. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't want you to talk about him at all. They throw away their interest in Christ. They also, the stirring of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God no longer deals with people the way he used to deal with people. It's evident in our churches today. The Word of God is preached with power from this pulpit week after week after week. And we see less working of the Spirit of God in the lives of people because of the sinful state of wanting. We also see a sinful state is like a land where there's no water, there's no rain, there's a famine in the land. Sinners are wretchedly and miserably poor today. They're wretched and miserably poor, and they can't see it. Sinners, they bolt themselves into that condition they're in. All sinners by themselves into the condition they're in, as far as being sinners, and they keep themselves in it by refusing any help. By refusing any help. They don't want any help. They claim to be happy where they are, what they're doing, you see. This is a state of this young man right now in his life. We also see, not only was it a sinful state in spending, a sinful state in wanting, but also we see in verse number 16, a sinful state is a state of dissatisfaction. Look at verse 16. Verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Verse 16, and he would fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now this was a low place for this man to be in a hog pen. Being who he is, it's a shame and a disgrace to be around hogs, these kind of people. But he was there. He was there desiring even the husk left from the corn that the hogs ate. We find that he was in a state of dissatisfaction. What did he do? He began to work. He went to the servant and started to work. Okay? I'm dissatisfied. I'll find me a job. He thought to help himself by going to work, which is a good thought. Helping himself by going to work. But he failed to realize he must be satisfied now or content with the provision that he's getting. The provision is coming from the field. The provision is not coming from the house like it was where he was in the Father's house. See, the provision is entirely different. Sinners, when they depart from God, you know what they promise themselves? Satisfaction. Sinners, when they depart themselves from God, they promise themselves satisfaction. That's why on Sunday, when we go by the ballparks and all this, you find hundreds of people out there playing ball with their children, their families, they're everywhere else but God's house. They promise their kids, we'll go and play ball tomorrow. We're going to promise you to be satisfied. They promise themselves to be satisfied, you see, when they do that. And that's a false satisfaction. You know that, and I know that. But here this man was in this state here. He was also in a sinful state, is a state which cannot expect relief from anyone. Cannot expect relief from anybody. You know why? He took to begging. He took to begging because he couldn't find any relief. He began to beg. He brought the misery on himself. He left home, didn't he? He requested his portion of goods. He left home on his own. Nobody ran him off. His father didn't run him off. He left on his own. He left on his own. His affliction, in his affliction, we see this young man, he comes to himself. He comes to himself. You know, sad it is, but sometimes we as even children of God, sometimes it takes affliction from God for us to come to ourselves. To come to reality in our life. What are we doing? How are we living? Aren't we living the way we should live? Now, what's happened now? Okay, he's been in this far country for a long time now. He's wasted all his substance. He's tried to make ends meet. He's tried to fulfill his satisfaction. He can't be satisfied at all. So now he's come to himself through his affliction that he's gone through. And now we see what's going to take place now. Let's read verse number 17. The Bible says, and when he came to himself. He came to reality. He realized where he was and what he was doing there. So what did he do? He came to himself. He said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I'll perish with hunger. He began to think about home. He began to think about what his father's servants had there, what he had when he was there. He began to think about that. And so what did he say? In essence, he said, it's time to go back home. He said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. What did the prodigal now decide? He said, now it's time to go home. It's time to go back where I was. He thought of his father's goodness. He thought of his father's grace. And he made a decision. He made a plan in verse 18 and verse 19. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to go back home. And I'm going to say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I've sinned. I've done wrong. That's repentance, folks. That's repentance. When somebody acknowledges that they have done wrong, and they say, I have done wrong. This is his plan. And so this is what happens. And no more worthy to be called thy son, verse 19, make me as one of thy hired servants. That's what I'm going to do. I've lived in the far country long enough, and now I want to go back home. I want to go back home. Now notice what happens in verse number 20. What the prodigal discovers. Can you imagine being gone from home this period of time? I don't know how long it was. It might have been a month, might have been 6 months, might have been a year. I don't know how long he was gone. Can you imagine now trying to even thinking about going back home to where you left? What's going to happen? Is my father going to accept me? Is he going to scorn me? How is he going to treat me? What is he going to say when I do that? All kinds of questions going in his mind. But you know, he came to the conclusion that's all the choice he had to go back home. He had to go back home. We find what he discovered. Dr. John Arai said the road home was long. The road home for this young man was very long. It was wrong. Will the father receive him? Will the father scorn him? What's going to take place in this man's life when he gets there? You know, I'm thankful tonight. It doesn't matter how deep a person is in sin. No matter how deep a person is in sin, if they were to turn their hearts and their face towards God, he's always there. He's always there, no matter where we are. The deepest sinner, the rottenest sinner in the earth, God is willing to forgive. But we find in verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. My, what a gracious father. He found a father that was waiting for him. He was waiting for his son to come back. This father believed in his heart that this son was going to come back one day. One day he was going to make his way back to home. He believed that. We see that he was truly a longing father. He was a looking father. He was looking for his son. No doubt he went out every day looking for him. Looking to see if he was coming down the path. He was a loving father. Notice when the father saw his son coming down the road or whatever it was, a great ways off, even before he got to his property where he lived, the father himself, he began to run after his son. He running out to where his son was. Why did he run to where his son was? His father was concerned that the son might change his mind. So he ran out to where he was. He made an effort to go out to where he was as fast as he could. He also went out because something might overtake him before he got home. He wanted to make sure he was protected so he would make it home. So he run out to get him. We see here a gracious father willing to receive a son that had been out in the far country for a long time and wasted all the substance that he gave him in all this. What am I saying? Folks, listen, there are prodigals out there today in the world. You know that? There are prodigals out there in the world today that are wasting their lives, wasting everything they have. And the only hope they have is a church like we're blessed with that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope they have. There's nothing out there in the world that's going to help them. Only God can help them. And God has chosen you and chosen me as part of this church to do that very thing. That very thing. The prodigals are coming. They're leaving the far countries. They're making their lonesome trip back towards the Father's home. The Father's home. See, the church is like the spiritual hospital for those that have needs. We find the church is to give hope, help, and healing to the prodigals when they come home, when they come home. May the Lord help us today to realize this. We ought to be waiting fathers. We ought to be waiting fathers. The prodigal also received a warm forgiveness. A warm forgiveness. Look at verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. What a happy reunion we find here. The son, first of all, he humbly repented to his father, like he said he was going to, didn't he? He repented. He humbly repented. The father was forgiving and available. He was forgiving and he was available for the son. See, the father gave his son a warm forgiveness. Look what he did. He put a robe on him in verse 22, only worn by special people on special occasions. He gave him that robe. He gave him a ring on his hand. This is a mark of identification and authority. He also gave him shoes on his feet. He put shoes on his feet. He was barefooted, no doubt. Didn't have anything when he came back home. He didn't put sandals on him, brother. He put shoes on him. He put shoes on him. He put the best on him that he could, that he had. See, helping people, strengthening people, giving them what they need. And we see this is what happened. The truth here is communicated by this thought that forgiveness is final. Forgiveness is final. The father forgave his son when he came home. He forgave him. And it was final. It was ended. He forgave him. He welcomed him home. He made the best for him while he was there. We cannot have God's forgiveness of our sins of the day unless we have first forgiven those who have sinned against us. We have to forgive those who have sinned against us. We have forgiveness here in this lesson today. The far country versus the father's home. It's time to head back home. It's time to head back home. You know prodigals, and I do too. We need to be praying for them. We need to be trying to do everything we can to get them in church. Folks, when they come in church, they need to be welcomed. They need to be forgiven for what they've done. Because God has forgiven me, He's forgiven you. And therefore, we need to be forgiving other people. We see here in this story, in this parable here, the Lord Jesus Christ, a son that wanted, he thought, his portion of goods, and he went out and he wasted all of it. But yet his father was so gracious and so loving that he forgave him for doing that. I'm so glad that I have a Father in heaven that forgave me of all my sins. all my sins that I've ever committed, that I ever will commit in my life. He's forgiven me. And I'm so glad tonight to know that. I have a Father that loves me. I have a Father that's gracious. I have a Father in heaven that is not only gracious, but He's also glorious. He's wonderful. And if you're saved tonight, you have that same Father. You have that same Father. I hope we can learn tonight from this parable. Are we in the far country? Or are we in the Father's house? Now, you don't have to be in Japan to be in a far country, spiritually speaking. You just be separated from God. You just be out of fellowship with God. You can be in the far country sitting in the church pews. Sitting in the church pews, you can. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord help us tonight as we look at this and examine this and say, God, help me. I want to stay in the Father's house. I want to abide in the Father's house because that's where my provisions were made all the days of my life. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful tonight for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for this parable that you've given to us in your word. Lord, as we look at it tonight, we're grateful, Lord, for who you are. You are our Father. And God, you have forgiven us of our sins. Lord, you have given us eternal life. You've given us this life that we might serve you and glorify you. God, help us to be busy doing that until Jesus comes. Father, thank you now for each one that's come. Lord, as we dismiss, I pray you watch over us, protect us, give us a good week, give us an opportunity, Lord, to speak the Word of God to somebody between now and Sunday. Lord, help us. As our brother said many times, may you give us an opportunity, Lord, to present your Word to someone, Lord, that we might share the gospel and help them along life's road. That's why we're here, God, and I pray you'd help us to do that. Dismiss us now with your love. Keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.